Then Bildad, the Shuhite, answered and said, "How long will you say these things, and the words of your mouth be a great wind? Does God pervert justice, or does the Almighty pervert the right? If your children have sinned against him, he has delivered them into the land of their transgression. If you will seek God and plead with the Almighty for mercy, if you are pure and upright, surely then he will rouse himself for you and restore your rightful habitation. And though your beginning was small, your latter days will be very great. For inquire, please, of bygone ages, and consider what the fathers have searched out. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, for our days on earth are a shadow. Will they not teach you and tell you and utter words out of their understanding? Can papyrus grow where there is no marsh? Can reeds flourish where there is no water? While yet in flower and not cut down, they wither before any other plant. Such are the paths of all who forget God. The hope of the godless shall perish. His confidence is severed, and his trust is a spider's web. He leans against his house, but it does not stand. He lays hold of it, but it does not endure. He is a lush plant before the sun, and his shoots spread over his garden. His roots entwine the stone heap. He looks upon a house of stones. If he is destroyed from his place, then it will deny him, saying, 'I have never seen you.' Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the soil others will spring. Behold, God will not reject a blameless man, nor take the hand of evildoers. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter, and your lips with shouting. Those who hate you will be clothed with shame, and the tent of the wicked will be no more." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Martin Luther probably would have described Bildad as a theologian of glory. I don't know. He may actually have done so. For Bildad, it was simple, as plain as the nose on his face. Since Job's children perished, they had to have sinned against the Lord. That's how God works. He punishes sinners and rewards the righteous. See a result, and you can be sure of the cause. In Bildad's own words, "Behold, God will not reject a blameless man, nor take the hand of evildoers." Of course, there's a problem with that way of thinking. Bildad actually identifies part of the problem himself. He tells Job, "If you will seek God and plead with the Almighty for mercy, if you are pure and upright, surely then he will rouse himself for you and restore your rightful habitation." In other words, there's another variable in play: repentance. If only Job will repent, Bildad says, then God will reverse course. He will restore Job's health and give him back his possessions. And of course, the opposite is also true. As Bildad admits, there are times when the wicked prosper and those who are treacherous thrive, at least for a while. So then, as Bildad himself acknowledges, earthly prosperity at any given moment isn't an accurate indicator of how God regards a man. The thing is, even with this qualification, Bildad is still dead wrong about Job and about God's interaction with him. Job wasn't suffering because of his sin. Quite the opposite. At the beginning of the book, The Lord lets us in on a secret to which neither Job nor his friends were privy. Job's suffering came to him because of his righteousness. As the Lord said of him, "There is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil." The Lord couldn't have praised Job more highly, blameless, upright, God-fearing. But then the Lord allowed Satan to test Job in order to prove that Job's righteousness was not merely a result of the prosperity and health with which he had been blessed. So Job's suffering was not because of his sin, but because of his righteousness. The truth is that as enticing as it is, Bildad's is a vile and reprehensible false teaching. It will tend to drive those who are suffering to despair and encourage the prosperous to sinful pride. You will never learn God's attitude toward you from your bank balance or your health or your family situation. Now, to be sure, your earthly possessions are blessings from God. But Jesus himself says, God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. No, the circumstances you experience in this life are not a trustworthy measure of God's attitude toward you. There's no clearer indication of this than Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and at Golgotha. Bildad says, "Behold, God will not reject a blameless man, nor take the hand of evildoers. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouting. Those who hate you will be clothed with shame, and the tent of the wicked will be no more." But Jesus was forsaken by God. God allowed the evildoers to do their worst at this blameless man, his own dear son. The laughter and jubilant shouting of Gethsemane and at Golgotha were at Jesus' expense from the lips and throats of evildoers. Jesus was mocked in a cast-off cloak, then stripped and crucified in shame. And it was the tent of his dwelling, his own holy and innocent body, that was destroyed. All this God allowed to be done to his beloved son, his son with whom he was well pleased. So what is the mother bereft of her child, or the man whose life is being stolen from him by a painful terminal illness, to think? God rejected blameless Jesus on Good Friday for her, and for him, and for you. Jesus suffered the punishment of sinners, so that no sinner ever need bear the eternal consequences of sin. He gave no promise that those who trust in him, who are righteous through faith in him, will be spared from earthly hardship or sorrow. Indeed, he says, you won't be. In the world, you will have tribulation. More than that, for his, that is, the Lord's sake, you are being killed all the day long. You are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Nevertheless, the apostle assures us that for those who love God, all things work together for good. All things for eternal good. The hardship, and suffering you may know in this life, no matter how severe it may be, will fade into insignificance in the light of the glory God will reveal in the resurrection. In a way, what Bildad says is true. Not as a hope that will be realized here on earth, something you can see and experience in this life, but rather as a promise for all eternity. God will not reject a blameless man, that is, a sinner made blameless through faith in Jesus' innocent suffering and death for him. In eternity, God will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouting. Then he will have wiped away every tear from your eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain anymore. On that day, Satan and all of his minions who hate you will be clothed with shame, and they will perish forever in hell. The Lord has promised good to you. He has accomplished it for you in Christ, your Savior. It will be yours, according to his grace, forever. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.